So first of all, I wish to thank the organizer for inviting me. It was not so easy to get here, but here I am. And I'm going talking about something which is not on the book, actually. So the paper I'm going to present is a joint work with Ermanno Pitacco, which is also one of the co-authors of the book. And the paper is based on the consideration that in practical work, the quantification of risk within internal assessment, I mean a portfolio evaluation or a solvency investigation, quite often is based on some very simple rules, quite often deterministic assumptions are adopted, which means a possibly biased valuation of risk. So the proposal I'm going to describe is motivated by the need of stochastic models which are accurate but not too much complex, so that they can be quite easily implemented into practice. I focus on mortality risk, for life annuities. I will refer to a very simple life annuity portfolio, immediate life annuities with fixed benefits. I will just focus on mortality risk. In their two components which are important for annuities, that is random fluctuation and the longevity risk, but I'm going to disregard any other risk source. This is the background. We assume that for performing the valuation of the life annuity portfolio, the insurer holds a mortality life table, which is assumed to be the best estimate, a description of future mortality. But the life table, as it is usually the case, has been built by some external institution, so that not necessarily the insurer has access to the relevant data set, nor the insurer has the possibility to deal with the methodologies underlying the construction of the life table. It may happen that some alternative tables are provided to the life insurer, but with no specific recommendation about their use. This happened, for example, in the UK with the projection of the Continuous Mortality Investigation Bureau, providing some alternative projection in respect of a best estimate assumption, but without any particular recommendation about how to deal with this alternative assumption. So what is difficult to the life insurer is the assessment of longevity risk. What we do is to describe a mortality model which is which allows for a quantification of both random fluctuation and systematic deviation. The model you will see is not is simple. It is basically an extension of some very classical results about the modeling of the number of deaths and about the modeling of the parameter uncertainty. And then we use the model for an internal assessment, which is in particular a solvency investigation. And the outcome of this assessment is compared to the forthcoming Solvency II requirement for longevity risk. The Solvency II project is the project for capital requirements in the European market. So first of all, I described the mortality model. This is basically the notation which I'm going to use. We focus on the annual outflows. We are just concerned about mortality issues, so we are basically interested into the assessment of the cost of these annual outflows. We simplify a little bit. We take just the same annual amount for each annuitant, so that we can directly refer to the number of annuitants, which is random, or it is the same, we can directly refer to the number of deaths. So if we wanted to perform a stochastic valuation of the business, we must model this number of deaths emerging in each year. More in detail, in each year the portfolio may consist of different cohorts. So more in detail, we should consider many ages in each calendar year. But in this presentation, I'm going to consider just one cohort so that I reduce the number of quantities to be modeled, which is just one age in one calendar year. So this is what I want to model. Number of deaths in each calendar year, for each calendar year, there is just one age of the cohort we are considering. The number of deaths is random, it is well known. It is random because there are random fluctuations and there are systematic deviations. Random fluctuations are very traditional. They emerge from the fact that we know quite well that if the portfolio size is large enough, then with high probability this ratio, which is the frequency of mortality, will be close to this quantity, which is the best estimate mortality rate for a given age in a given year. But we also know that because of the actual size of the portfolio, we may be far away from this, this ratio may be not very close to this quantity. There is a very natural way to represent this risk, conditional on the best estimate mortality rate. The number of deaths follows the binomial law. But we can also approximate with a Poisson law, which is possibly not very good at very high ages, but for young ages and under appropriate condition, we can keep this assumption, which is also useful because we can generalize to a situation where we are addressing more than one cohort or annual amounts which are different to annuitants. So we will keep this assumption even though we know that in some cases the approximation may be too, we must check the approximation. One way to represent a systematic deviation can be the following. We are facing systematic deviation if this ratio, the frequency of mortality, is not close to the best estimate mortality rate. It's not close with high probability to this rate, also when the size of the portfolio is very large. In this case, we refer to the situation as a deviation in aggregate mortality. And we also know that what we need is stochastic mortality, a stochastic model for the mortality rate, which is assumed to be random. Before defining the model, we should also state why are we facing deviation in aggregate mortality. And there may be two reasons. The deviation can be temporary or permanent. Temporary deviation typically is perceived as an upward shock, so in the appropriate direction for the life insurer. And we can think that since this is a temporary deviation, the deviation in 1 year is independent of deviation in previous years. But the impact could be age dependent. For example, very hot summer can originate a higher number of deaths at old ages than at not so old ages. The permanent deviation, conversely, is linked to the underlying trend of the population we are referring to. an underlying trend which is unknown and is other than what has been described through the best estimate mortality table. In this case, we can think that the deviation in 1 year will be followed by a deviation in the same direction in the following year, so that we can assume there is a positive correlation between deviation in time. So we have made one specific assumption. These things are already known in the literature. What we have tested is this assumption. We have assumed that this multiplicative model, the random mortality rate is represented as the best estimate mortality rate times a random coefficient which expresses the deviation in a given year. This deviation can be greater than one or lower than one, so it can be account both for temporary and for systematic deviation. The assumption is known in other contexts. For example, a similar assumption is typical for frailty models. With a deterministic coefficient, it is well known for differential mortality, for example. So it is a common assumption for representing different aspects of mortality. Clearly, we have to make some choices about the probability distribution of this coefficient, which can be assumed to be independent or correlated in time, also in relation to what we are trying to represent. The probability distribution can be fixed in time or age and time dependent, so we have to make some modeling choices. Yes, this is the best estimate mortality rate, which is taken from a projected mortality rate. So it is deterministic.
Something that is known at the outset.
Yes, it is taken from the market life table. Okay? So this is known. This is known, and we assume that because of deviation in aggregate mortality, in some year, the underlying mortality rate can deviate in respect of this one. Okay? I'm focusing on one cohort, so what I have to model is this sequence of coefficient, one specific age in each calendar year. And to see what happens, we have tested two assumptions. One is a very basic assumption. These coefficients are independent, and further we have also assumed that they are identically distributed, since we have no specific information. This was a very first attempt. A second implementation, we have assumed that these coefficients are correlated in a way that I will explain. So, first choice has been the multiplicative model. Now, second choice, for this coefficient, we have chosen a gamma distribution. Basically because of its flexibility. But thanks to this assumption, we can get some results which I think are interesting and are worthwhile to investigate further. We have assumed a multiplicative model for the mortality rate. The coefficient, the random coefficient, is gamma distributed, so it follows that also the mortality rate is gamma distributed with parameters which depends on these two parameters, as well as on the best estimate mortality rate. Further, since I am accepting the Poisson distribution for the conditional distribution of the number of deaths, that is the number of deaths conditional on a given mortality rate, thanks to this assumption and to this approximation, we can show that the number of deaths, the unconditional distribution of the number of deaths, unconditional in respect of the mortality rate, has a negative binomial distribution. This is a rather classical result for non-life insurance. The difference here is that we are considering quantities which are age and time dependent, because we are considering mortality rates.
The capital Z, it's not bounded above by anything, so it could be...
Yeah, which means that in a stochastic simulation you have to truncate it, because you must have a mortality rate which is between 0 and 1.
The expectation of life,
yes,
under both measures would be the same, the total life from X to the omega.
No, not the same, in the sense that, for example, the conditional, the expected number of deaths conditional on the best estimate mortality rate is in each year this quantity, which means the number of survivors at the beginning of the year times the best estimate mortality rate. If I'm introducing uncertainty about the mortality rate, the expected number of deaths changes, and changes because it is multiplied also by this coefficient, which is given by the parameters of the gamma distribution of the Z coefficient. And this ratio represents the magnitude of a systematic deviation, which I am expecting.
So it really goes beyond being random. It's the total life expectancy could be potentially different.
Yeah.
It's not just random.
No, because the reason of the systematic deviation may be an unknown trend, which is not close to the best estimate one. Okay. So this is what is known in non-life insurance, the Poisson gamma model. But in the Poisson gamma model, the setting is fixed in time, because you are just in a stable situation. Here, at least we have to consider dependence on age, because we are considering mortality. So first assumption, the very first trial assumption, has been to take the coefficient Z, which measures systematic deviation, independent in time and identically distributed. The rationale of this assumption can be this one. If we believe that mortality dynamics is mainly affected by temporary deviations, then possibly it could be reasonable to accept this. As well as we can believe that, conversely, the mortality dynamics is affected also by some underlying trend, but we believe that experience in our portfolio is not reliable. So we can perceive that there is some underlying trend other than the best estimate one, but we do not feel that our information is reliable, so that we just keep the initial assumption. In particular, we have made this choice for the parameters of the gamma distribution, because the model has then been tested for solvency investigation in comparison to the Solvency II proposal. And I will tell you that this assumption in particular that the expected number of deaths is 75% of what is expected according to the best estimate. Table is the underlying assumption in Solvency II. So just to make this comparison, we have tested this assumption. Second step, second implementation, we believe that there is some underlying trend in our portfolio, in our population, which can be other than the best estimate one. So that we think that a deviation in 1 year is probably followed by a deviation in the same direction in the next year. And we also assume that the emerging experience in our portfolio is informative, is reliable. So we can trust on our own experience in order to update our assessment. So if we believe this, we can design an inferential procedure according to which we will update in time the probability distribution of the coefficient Z. The inferential procedure moves in this way. We start at time zero. I am still referring to one cohort. At time zero, I have no specific experience available because it is the starting time. So that I just assume that the coefficient Z for all future times and ages are gamma distributed with some initial set of parameters. Then, as we have seen before, as I was telling before, the number of deaths in the first year has a negative binomial distribution with parameters which depend on this initial set of parameters. Then, after the first year, I have some information because I have observed the number, the actual number of deaths in my portfolio. I update the number of survivors. Well, this is very tricky. But most important, I assess the posterior probability distribution of the mortality rate. Posterior in the sense that it is conditional on the actual number of deaths which has been observed in the first year. And Q is gamma distributed, the prior is gamma distributed. We consider this new information and we may find out that also the posterior is a gamma distribution. But parameters are updated. It is clearer if we consider Z the way we are updating the parameter. Q is the mortality rate, the posterior distribution for the mortality rate is gamma, but we are assuming a multiplicative model. The mortality rate is the best estimate times a random coefficient. So also for the random coefficient Z, we have a posterior distribution, which is gamma, and we do not have any longer the initial set of parameters, bar alpha and bar beta. This should be a bar beta. But the first parameter has been updated by the observed number of deaths. The second parameter by this quantity, initial number of survivors, best estimate mortality rate for the first year, which means that this is what we expected for the number of deaths. And so we can move on. We can now build the probability distribution of the number of deaths for the second year. Again, this will be negative binomial because we are keeping the same probability low. But the parameters are updated in respect of the initial setting. And so we can move on in this way year by year, and we get to this. Well, I do not read it, but the meaning is the same. After we have observed the number of deaths in the first, second, and so on, T minus 1 year, we have for the probability distribution of the number of deaths in ERT a negative binomial law with parameters which have been updated year by year to the actual number of deaths in respect of what was expected.
So the fact that you're truncating the gamma distribution doesn't impact this negative binomial at all?
Well, we have not explicitly considered a truncated gamma distribution. We have just adjusted the simulation path. So I think this is not affected.
Because as you go farther out, this is going to have a bigger impact.
Well, but well, it depends clearly on the concentration you are assuming for the for this implementation. We have not assumed a very dispersed distribution. So we didn't meet this problem, indeed. Well, this is the expected number of deaths. Again, it is this quantity. This quantity means the expected number of deaths according to the best estimate mortality table. And in this setting, this quantity is adjusted by this ratio, which consider experience from the initial time. Also in this case, to make some comparison with the solvency European system, we have assumed at the beginning this choice. Well, I will comment on right soon. Okay, so this is the model. We think this can be a useful setting for internal assessment, not for pricing, because this is based on own experience of the insurer. So this could be an appropriate setting for portfolio evaluation or for setting up an internal model. The European system, well, there is this project, the Solvency II proposal. The Solvency II proposal is a very large project which is improving the risk management of European insurers, but in particular set a new standard formula for the capital required to face risk. Standard formula which is referred to as the solvency capital requirement. And the standard formula can be replaced by an internal model, but the internal model must be validated by the supervisor. Well, and clearly the insurer can be interested in using an internal model because it is cheaper, a lower, it originates a lower amount of required capital than the standard formula. We make a very short comparison in the sense that the standard formula is very, very long, very detailed. Here I'm focusing on mortality risk, what is required for mortality risk in the case of life annuities. And quite surprisingly, in this system, longevity risk is addressed. Not many systems address longevity risk, but what is surprising is that the random fluctuations are not addressed. So the new standard formula will require some capital just to face longevity risk in the case of life annuity.
Does the system take into account life insurance that they might have that offsets some of this longevity risk, or do they have to do it for each individual?
You have to do for each line of business, and then when you match up the several items, there is a correlation assumption. Well, indeed, actually, just the positive correlation are considered, but there is the way you put together all the pieces account for a possible diversification effect. But European insurers are claiming that this negative correlation has not been considered so much. Well, for the Italian market, there is no problem because we have no life annuity, really. The market is not yet developed, but this is a remark which has been made by European insurers. The requirement for longevity risk is very simple in the sense that reference is to a deterministic setting. The capital charge for longevity risk is the change in the net asset value, in the net value of asset minus liabilities, in case the insurer faces a permanent 25% decrease in mortality rates for each age in all future years. So a deterministic assumption, minus 25% in respect of your best estimate table. Which means that in practice the capital charge is simply a difference between two expected values or two reserves traditionally calculated, in the sense that the capital charge is simply the difference between the expected value of future payment under this conservative assumption net of the best estimate assessment. So very easy to implement, but possibly not very well determined. This is not just this is not the all amount of capital which is required, because a risk margin must be added to the reserve. The portfolio reserve, indeed, is this best estimate assessment to which a risk margin must be added. And this is the choice which has been adopted in Solvency II. Solvency II is not yet introduced, but many choices have been made, have been tested with European insurers. The risk margin, which is the conservative item in the portfolio reserve, will be assessed through a cost of capital logic, which means that this formulation, which is the so-called cost of capital. In total, so the amount of asset facing risk in the life portfolio will be the capital charge explicitly calculated added to this risk margin. This is the standard formula. The life insurer may validate an internal model. The internal model internal model should be a stochastic model, and typically this involves a comparison between assets and liabilities. Assets are quite easily to describe in our setting because we are not considering financial risk. We are just facing mortality risk. And so the assets are simply described in this with this recursion. The difference between asset and the best estimate assessment of future payment represent asset meeting risk in the portfolio. The internal model should state the initial amount of this extra asset according to a chosen time horizon for the solvency requirement and an accepted default probability. For example, the internal model could be based on a rule like this one. Within a chosen time horizon, we check the positivity of these assets meeting risk, and we ask that the probability that these assets keep positive within the time horizon is equal to 1 minus the accepted default probability. If the insurer wanted to validate the model, want the model be validated by the supervisor, some choices are must be consistent with the assumption in Solvency II, which means that the default probability must be set at this level because this is the underlying assumption in Solvency II. and the time horizon for the solvency assessment must be the total duration of the portfolio, because this is implicitly the time horizon which is adopted for the longevity capital charge. We have implemented this model with the mortality model which I have just described. So I just show you some numerical examples. This is just a first implementation, so there are some items to be still tested more deeply. I have referred to a cohort of males 65 age. I have referred to the best estimate. For the best estimate, we have adopted the Italian market table, which is named IPS 55, which is a projected life table, projected according to the Lee Carter model, and it was built by the National Institute of Statistics in Italy. Well, this is a critical choice because when implementing the stochastic mortality model, we have to choose the parameters of the gamma distribution. Quite easy, given the application, to choose the alpha parameter, because if we want to be consistent with Solvency II, Solvency II is assuming minus 25% in mortality rates. So this was the reference for the alpha parameter, but we have to choose also the beta parameter. We have made this choice leading to a coefficient of variation of the random mortality rate, which is 10%. This is not statistically tested. This is just a qualitative assumption which seems to us to be reasonable in respect of mortality experience in Italy in the latest decades. But clearly, the pictures I'm going to show are based on this choice for the beta parameter. So these are some numerical outcome. In the x-axis, we have plotted several portfolio sizes, and each line corresponds to a way to build up the capital required. So each line corresponds to a capital requirement. The blue line is the Solvency II requirement, which is constant in respect of the portfolio size. This is time 0, this is time 5. It's constant because just longevity risk is considered in Solvency II. Longevity risk is systematic. Sorry, I have also to explain one other thing. What is plotted is the ratio between the assets required to meet risk per unit of best estimate value of future payment. So this is a percentage. As a percentage of the best estimate value of future payment, what is the size of the assets which are required to face risk. So, in relative terms, Solvency II requires a constant quantity, and this is due to the fact that just longevity risk is addressed. Longevity risk is systematic, so it is independent of the size of the portfolio. All the other lines correspond to the outcome from the internal model, which has been implemented making different choices about the stochastic mortality model. And in any case, the required capital is decreasing in relative terms because we are accounting not just for longevity risk, but also for random fluctuation. We were surprised by seeing that in Solvency II, random fluctuation were not addressed, because it is true that random fluctuation can be offset through a proper risk management action, but if it is appropriate not to consider the cost of random fluctuation when we are trying to build up a fair value of a life portfolio, It is different when we assess how much capital the portfolio requires to face risks. So we were a little bit surprised. We feel that the capital requirement in Solvency II may be biased in respect of the actual situation of the life portfolio. I explained something about time 5. The squared here, this line corresponds to two implementations of the stochastic mortality model. One is fixed parameters, which means that on average we are expecting 75%, we are expecting a number of deaths which is 75% what we are expecting under the best estimate assumption. So a similar assumption than in Solvency II. Or the same outcome emerges, more or less the same outcome, when we are considering the coefficients that correlated in time, but with an emerging experience, which is as what has been depicted in Solvency II. Each year we are experiencing actually 75% of the number of deaths in respect of what is the best estimate assumption. This yellow line is the outcome if our mortality, if we are considering correlation between the coefficient Z, but our experience is better than what is depicted by Solvency II, so that we can reduce the capital required because we are facing higher mortality than expected. And then this is just this accounts just for random fluctuation, just to see what is the importance of random fluctuation. Clearly, if we had chosen a higher level for beta, each of these lines would have been pushed up, so possibly the comparison could have been different. But what emerges is that this very simple rule may lead to a biased assessment, which means in some cases a capital which is too low in respect of what we assess under a stochastic valuation, which we think is reasonable, the stochastic valuation which we think is reasonable. In other cases, the requirement is too high, which means too much expensive for the life insurer. So there are other plots, but I think that I have used all the time, which was 2 minutes, so I go to the conclusion. So as far as the internal assessment is concerned, and in particular the solvency investigation is concerned, what we have tried to examine is how expensive can be a simple rule. For example, the solvency rule, the capital requirement rule in Solvency II is simple to implement, but may lead really to biased assessment. On the other hand, if the insurer wants to implement a stochastic model, then the stochastic model can be technically difficult. What we have described clearly relies on some assumption which must be accepted, but can be useful, can be simply to be implemented in practice. So possibly this could be a nice way to not to do too much simplified assessment. There is also different use of the model. I do not mention it because, well, maybe you are not so used to Solvency II, so maybe it is difficult to clearly take this point of view. As far as the mortality model is concerned, clearly this is just some initial development. So we have also to test other situation, more than one cohort, the calibration of parameters to evidence, mortality evidence, and so on. If you are interested in details, this is the paper describing this initial results. Okay, many thanks.
like an anomaly that the quantum model that the number of deaths can exceed the size of the initial population. In practice, it doesn't need to matter much because the posterior calculation will be made on the basis of the actual numbers, which are right. But maybe you could try something different and use a binomial model. The book has a very nice.
Yes, we
saw.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we thought about this. We prefer to consider the Poisson distribution because we had in mind to extend to more than one cohort or annual amounts which are not constant in the population. So we first tried this. But we had in mind also the alternative, which is the binomial, which is the Polyeigenberger scheme, which avoids the approximation.
But a similar question. I mean, you formulated everything in terms of cubes. Did you think of the hazard rate? And then when you've got a proportionate model, you've got an obvious extension to proportional hazard models of frailty models you mentioned.
We refer to the mortality rate because our starting point was what is available to the life insurer, and what is available is a mortality rate providing mortality rates. So this is why at least in Italy, we have this mortality, this life table. So this is why we focused on the mortality rate. Yes.
The IID assumption on Z, how much does that bother you? And if you were able to change it, what kind of dependent structure would you put over time? So what do you think Z really looks like over time? If there's a shock to mortality, does it get stronger? Does it dissipate?
I think that, you think that there is, a shock in mortality typically is an upward shock. It is difficult to me to think to a downward shock.
Breakthrough of cancer, diabetes.
Yeah, but not just in 1 year then. It is not a short deviation. So.
To illustrate this.
Yes.
With the resurrection of the United States of Germany, they produce medical preparations that have been available in the West for a long time into the former East Germany, and suddenly all the mortality rates drop dramatically for the old age. So that just shows the impact of possible innovations in medical science.
The opposite of an epidemic, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering,
yeah,
what kind of structure would you like to take this to on the Z if it wasn't IID?
We just thought about not an explicit modeling of correlation, because we thought mainly about the underlying trend, and so an inferential procedure which implicitly takes into account the correlation, but we didn't explicitly model the correlation, and we didn't still think about it because we work on the other side mainly.
Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, thank you again very much.
Thank you.
2 to 3 minutes to get ourselves set up for the other speaker. I wouldn't go anywhere, but just a couple of seconds here.